Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Hey, 21 lines from the top. At the very beginning of today's shiur, the beginning of the line, you can see a crown shape. On the side, in the margin, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic and Mivneh structural note, we feature the word Bishlama, and we indicate that, number one, Ma Ta'am Shonu Haminyan Shel Ha'avos. We have seen, not only in our Mishnah, but two additional Tanaic sources in our recent Shiurim, listing, or stating a number, and then listing, one after the other, the Avos Nezikin. If you already provide a list of the Avos Nezikin, the number would seem to be unnecessary, being that anyone can count on their own. So the number in the source indicates that other things are not counted as Avos Nezikin. So if we say there are, for example, four Avos Nezikin, the intent of the Tana is to say four and not other things. Likewise, we saw Rabbi Shaya say there were 13 Avos Nezikin. He is coming to exclude others that he doesn't want to count. And likewise, Rabbi Chia, he listed 20. He said there are 24, and then proceeded to list them. So, what benefit do we have by the statement of the actual number, which appears, as we said, in addition to the listing of the items? Number two, Mahi Mahamashmos Shel Hamila Avos. What does the word Avos convey? Aleph, Litana de Mishnah Seinu, according to our Mishnah, and Beis, L'Rabbi Shai of Reb Chia, those two additional sources who also used the term Avos. Now, the Gemara. Bishlama Litana Didon, very well, according to our Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, Tana Minyana, he states a number, he states the number four, as we said, in addition to the actual listing of the Avos Nezikin, and his goal is Limute de Rebbe Oshaya, four, and not 13, the 13 that Rebbe Oshaya featured. So he wanted to say that these are the four Avos Nezikin, and not those that Rebbe Oshaya lists in addition. We saw back on Daf Dalet Amud Beis suggestions as to why our Tana doesn't include them. We saw according to Shmuel and according to Rav, but we don't have to get into that now. All that we want to do is just note that the four of the Mishnah is to the exclusion of the additional nine that Rebbe Oshaya goes on to list. Rebbe Oshaya taught a minyana. Rebbe Oshaya taught 13 limutei de Rebbe Chia, 13 to the exclusion of an additional 11 that would have added up to 24 that you see by Rebbe Chia. Elo minyana de Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia said there are 24 of us nezikin, and then went on to list them. Limutei mai, his statement of 24. What is its purpose? What is he trying to exclude? Answer, Lemute Moiser Mefagel. He is coming to say that there are 24 Avos Nezikin, and I'm not going to include in the list these two forms of damage. Moiser. Moiser is a situation where a person, a Jew, tells the government authorities to take or collect someone else's properties. Moser is to literally to give over. Rashi refers to him as a malshin. He's a squealer. He tells the government, the idolatrous government, go, you see that Jew's property there? You know, you can confiscate it. That's Moser. Mefagel is a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash that processes people's sacrifices with wrongful intention. The wrongful intention renders the sacrifice unfit, so that the owner will have to bring, in effect, another sacrifice. You know, so the Kohen, through his improper thoughts, ruined someone else's sacrifice. So that Rabbi Chiya in listing 24 is excluding these two, Moser and Mefagel. Question, Velisni, why doesn't he state them? Bishlamo Mefagel, I understand why Rabbi Chiya did not include in his list Mefagel. Bekotshim lo komairi. Rabbi Chiya is not interested in discussing those kind of damages that are restricted to the realm of the sanctified, that which is holy, that which is Beis HaMikdash related. Elo Moser, my time alotani. Why does Rabbi Chiya not include Moser? Answer, shiny Moser. Moser is different than the other forms of damage. The Dibura. Uba Dibura lo komairi. The damage that results from Moser is a damage that results from mere speech. The offender simply spoke. And the list of Rabbi Chiya doesn't include damages resulting from speech. Question, Vaha Motsi Shemra de Diburahu Vikatoni. In the list of Rabbi Chiya's offenses, he mentions Motsi Shemra. That's a situation where a man recently married, he tells us that his wife was not virtuous, and though he expected to be marrying a virgin woman, it turns out that she had intimacy before he married her, and then it turns out that he's lying. That's the case of Motsi Shemra. The Diburahu, here the husband's offense is through speech, v'katani, and Rabbi Chiya doesn't hesitate to include that in his list. The Gemara responds, Dibura de'is be'maisehu. Motsi Shemra, in addition to the speech of the husband, it wouldn't have been an offense unless the husband, had already had intimacy. That's an action, an act of intimacy with his wife, so that it's speech coupled with an action, making it different than Moiser. Question: Vaha Edim Zomimim Dibura the less Bay Maisehu Vekatani. Number 5 in Rabbi Chiya's list of Avos Nezikin was Edim Zomimim. Those are false witnesses. They testified in a false fashion, without going into the details of what is unique to Edim Zomimim. But it's an offense through speech, and there's no action, and yet Rabbi Chiya does include it. So why doesn't he include Moser? Answer. Hosom afagav de les be maisa. There, in the case of Edim Zomimim, even though there's no actual action, Rachmona karya maisa, the Torah regards it as if it's an action. Dechtiv, the posuk there says, Vasisim loy kasher zomam la'asois lochiv, and you shall punish them, the witnesses, the false witnesses, as they schemed to do. And we dashed underline la'asos. So you see that they are considered actioneers, as ones that wanted to do something, and hence they belong in Reb Chiya's list, to the exclusion of Moser, which is purely speech or oral based. Bishlama l'tana didon, tana avois mechlal deiko toldos. Our Tana used the term avois, giving room for the existence or the recognition of toldos. And we saw quite an extensive discussion on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel regarding what the toldos of the respective avos were. So that explains the term avos in our Mishnah. Elo Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Hoshaya, avos michlal de'iko toldos, toldosei en mai nihu. They too used the expression toldos in their list of extensive avos nezikin. But in their extensive list of avos nezikin, we don't see that each one that they list has some type of derivative damage. So what do they gain by the use of the word avos? Namely, Reb Chiya and Reb Hoshaya. Om Reb Yavo, kulon ke'avos l'shalem mimeitav. The term avos that Reb Chiya and Reb Hoshaya present in their Tanaic sources conveys the teaching that payment for those damages is from meitav, that if one is not paying cash restitution, then he will be paying in terms of land, and the quality of land used for making those payments, making the restitution, is from top quality, what we call in other sukkis, we call it idis, quality land. My taima, what is the basis for saying that? The concept of meitav is based on the pasuk that says meitav sodehu, where the Torah makes reference to the damage caused by a damaging animal. The Torah uses the term, as we just said, meitav sodehu. So there's a precedent in the Torah for paying from top quality land. And as we said, the precedent is found in the Torah already, and from that pasuk, we have a string of word comparisons to all the other topics that Reb Chiya and Reb Hoshaya list. And that's what the Gemara points out. Now, Asya means it's derived. The payment from Meitav for all the other Ovois Nezikin that Reb Chiya and Reb Hoshaya listed is derived Tachas Nesino Yeshalem Kesef. Here you have four words, one of which appears in all 24 different Avos Nezikin. And Rashi, you can see, has an extensive explanation where each one of the Avos Nezikin is featured with having one of these words in the Torah at each point, at each one of the Avos Nezikin. So since in the original Pasuk you find these words, Tachas Nesino Yeshalem and Kesef, we then expand forth from that to all the other Ovis Nezikin, in which, we, as we said, one of these words appears, enabling us to say that all of them will pay from Meitav, from top quality land, in the event that they do not pay cash. Lo hare hashor kare hamave, a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was saying that the shor damage is not like the mave damage. Mai ka'omar. And we have a new geometric form, so let's glance at the side. We have a nosei mivneh heading, which reads, featuring the house shape, mai ka'omar. You'll see that we feature that this expression, this question, here and in a couple lines again. Hesper ha'gemora, loma ha'yotzorech le'mishneh le'faret. What was the reason? What's the reason for the Mishnah having to delineate, to detail, lo hare, etc.? When you look back in the Mishnah, you see that the Mishnah goes through this exercise a few times, that this saying that this Av Nezikin is not like that Av Nezikin, and these two are not like the third, etc. Why did the Mishnah have to go through that? HaGemara Tazbir, Shamishnah Oinu L'Sheila. The Gemara will tell us that the Mishnah, in doing that, when it says lo hare hashor kare hamave, etc., the Mishnah is answering we'll call it the unasked question, but it's a question that exists between the lines. The Mishnah is answering the question, lomo hayotzorch l'tora l'faret kol echad me'ovos hanezikin. Why did the Torah have to specify each one of the ovos nezikin? Lomo lo yochla atora. Why could the Torah not have simply written lichtev echad o shnayim, one or two ovos nezikin, v'nilmad hashar b'mamotzinu, and learn the other ovos nezikin through simple comparison? Ma motzinu is an expression meaning to compare. Literally, ma motzinu, just like we find by A such and such, we find that by B. And if by A, as a result of these characteristics, these attributes, payment needed to be made because of the damage that resulted, and we find those same characteristics by topic B, so there too payment shall be made, even though the Torah doesn't have to say explicitly payment needs to be made. So the question is, why did the Torah go and state that anyway? I could have derived through logic subsequent Ovos Nezikin by having stated previous ones. That would have been sufficient. So we, as we said, the Mishnah is answering that question. The need for the Torah to specify Ovos Nezikin, they could have been derived on their own. The double underline highlights Tshuvos Mishmei Derava. You'll see Mishmei Derava, Rav Zvid, and then later Rav Masharsha answer in the name of Rava the above mentioned question. Now the Gemara. We read the Dibur Masu Lo Harei Hashor Karei Amava Mai Komar. What did the Mishnah have to say that for, that the shore is not like the Mave? Omar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava Hochi Komar. This is what the Mishnah is trying to do. It's trying to say, Lichtoiv Rachmono Chado, let the Torah write one of the Ovos Nezikin. Let the Torah write, for example, Shor Hamazik, the damaging ox. Might be, we had a machlokus of what Shor means, but if you say that Shor means goring, let the Torah write goring, and V'tesi Idoch Mine, and I'll figure out that just like goring has to pay, the owner has to pay for damage resulting from his ox goring. So I'll figure out on my own mav'eh, assuming that mav'eh means shame, like we saw in the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. One of the opinions was that mav'eh is shame. Hoder Omar, then we go on to say, chado mechado lo asya, by the Mishnah saying that lo hare hashor kare hamave, that the shore is not like mave, basically is telling me that by stating shore I would not have been able to figure out mave. And that's what the Gemara means by saying chado mechado lo asya, one from stating one would not be derived. The Mishnah went on to say velo zev zeh sheish b'em ruach chayim. The pronouns zeh v'zeh are references to shor and maveh. Shor and maveh, which are sources of damage that have the breath of life in them, are not like fire, which doesn't have the breath of life in it. It's an inanimate entity. Mai ko'omar, what is the Mishnah trying to accomplish by spelling that out? Omar of Misharshi Mishmei Derava, Hachi ko'omar. Thusly, the Mishnah is saying, Lichtoiv Rachmono Tarti, let the Torah have written two, namely Shor and Maveh, V'tesi Idoch Minayu, and let us figure out fire from that. Hoda Omar, and then the Mishnah went on to say that Chadami Tarti, Lo Osi, this is what the Mishnah meant when it said, Lo Zevezesh, Yeshban Ruachayim, Kareo Yeshban Ruachayim. The Mishnah is telling us that by stating two, I would not have been able to figure out Eish. That Shor and Maveh, those are sources of damage that have the breath of life in them. So maybe that's what the Torah holds the owner responsible for, but not for something like Eish that doesn't have the breath of life into it. That would have been the case had I not had the Torah spell out that for Eish, the owner is Chayav. Before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Lefi Rava, according to Rava, I Kosuv Batura, Bor V'oid Nezek Echad. Had the Torah, in fact, written just Bor, the damage caused by a dug pit, and one of the other Ovos Nezikin, in other words, had the Torah written two Ovos Nezikin, Bor and one other, Yocholnu Lilmod Hasha'ar, I would have been able to figure out the other ones. Imkein Lomo Kosva HaTorah Eskulam, if that be the case, then why does the Torah, which generally speaking is quite frugal with its words, why did it spell out the others? Let us now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, we're here the second line from the top of Daf Hei Omid Beis. Omar Rava v'kulu, all the Avos Nezikin, ki shodis bor binayhu. If once you included bor amongst them, shodis literally means you threw or tossed bor amongst them. Means had you stated bor along with other Avos Nezikin, asya kulhu b'mahatzad, by stating one of the other Avos Nezikin and bor, that means a total of two Avos Nezikin, I would have been able to figure out the other ones. Labar mikeren, with the exception of goring. Mishum deikol mifrach, because the others are different from keren. The others are more severe than keren. Maluk, because I could have undone the logic as follows. Malukulhu, the what about all the others, whether they be mave and bor or eish and bor? Shekain mu'odin mitchilosan. They are mu'od from the outset. Tosfos says that one should not explain mu'odin mitchilosan means that they pay full damages from the very outset, as opposed to goring, which does not do so. But rather, Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos says, Mu'odin mitchilosan means that it's their way, it's normal for them to damage, as opposed to keren. It's not expected for an ox to gore. So, had the Torah written any of the other Avos Nezikin, bor and one other, the others could have been derived, with the exception of the issue of goring, insofar as goring is we'll call it a lighter form of damage, in that it's not mu'od mitchilaso. Rashi is quite extensive here. We're not going to go through all of what Rashi does, but he demonstrates how by combining bor and one of the other avos nezikin, I would have been able to figure out the rest. And as far as we are concerned, had you had bor and keren, then keren would not have been left out, and state bor and keren, and I would have been able to figure out the rest. Rashi, as we said, goes through each one of them systematically. What we should do right now is just go through one or two examples in the Rashi, just to give you a flavor of things. In our Gemara markings, we have a very highly marked Rashi, enabling you to highlight each one of the different combinations. So let's look at Rashi momentarily. Ki shodis bor binayhu asya, iksiv bor v'chado mehanoch. We're reading Rashi in the middle of the narrow column. Had the Torah written bor and one of the others, asya kulhu mehahu v'idoch betzad hashoveh, I would have been able to figure out the other Avos Nezikin from the bor and the one other that you chose to include with it explicitly in the Torah, and derive the others through common denominator. Example, diksiv bor v'keren, had the Torah written that the owner of a pit, the owner of a goring animal, is obligated to pay for damages, asya shein minayu hachi, shein, tooth, or eating of the animal as a source of damage, could have been derived as being culpable as well, even without stating thusly. Ma bor, and how would I have done that? Ma bor, shein darku leilu chazi chayov. Mind you, a pit that doesn't have mobility, and yet if it causes damage, the owner is chayav, is obligated. Shein shedarku leilichu lahazik lo kol shekein, an eating animal which it's normal for it to move, to has locomotion and do damage thusly through its eating, all the more so the owner would be chayav. So does the Torah have to spell out shein? No, I could derive it from bor. On the other hand, not so. Ma labor shekein tchilas asiyoso oimed lenezek. In the case of a bor, as soon as you dig the bor, it's already a source of damage. Tomar b'shein, Could you say the same thing by the tooth of an animal as soon as an animal develops teeth, it's a source of damage? You wouldn't say that. All right, Karen Yochiach. Well, then that's what we gain by having Karen stated explicitly by the Torah that it shall prove, even though as soon as a horn on an animal develops, it's not there for damage purposes. It's not destined to do damage. Yet the owner of a goring animal is chayav to pay. So on the same token, Shane would have to pay even without Shane being stated. On the other hand, if I would have written Karen, Malik Karen, Shekin Kavanos Lahazik, if I would have written just Karen, the goring animal, there the Torah obligates the owner because the animal is full of intent to damage when it gores. Not so in the case of the tooth. So Bor Yochiach, the boar, it's inanimate, it doesn't have intention to damage, and yet the owner is Chayav. So I can then derive Shane from Bor. The Chozar Hadin, the logic starts to revolve. If you state just Bor, I won't be able to derive Shane. If I state Karen alone, I won't be able to derive Shane. However, by combining Bor and Karen, Hatzar Hasheva Shebahen, the common denominator is Shedarkun Lahazik, they do cause damage. Umamoncha, they are your possession, and you are obligated, Shemirosanach, you're obligated to watch it. Afaniyofi Shane? Oh, so by the same token, Shane has that same characteristic. It's Darkon Lahazik, and it's like it's normal for it to do damage that way. It's your animal. You own it, and you have to watch it. And Rashi goes on with many, many more examples, highlighting that which Rava says, that by stating two, I can derive the others. The Gemara continues, Ulamad Yomer Adarabo Karen Adifa. And according to the other, there's another opinion that says that that Karen, that the issue of goring has a certain greater strength or reason for culpability than the others. In what sense? Shekavanosu lahazik, that when it damages through goring, it has intent to damage. And therefore, if we say that something that does not have intent to damage is chayev, then Karen would follow as a kalvachomer. Would be a matter of, it would be simple then to see the culpability for Karen. Then afilu Karenami Asya, then Karen itself could be derived by not, even if it's not stated explicitly. So that if you would state Bor and Shane, I would be able to figure out Karen from that. Mind you, things that don't have intent to damage, you're held responsible for. Something like Karen that has intent to damage, a goring animal has intent to damage, all the more so. So that, really, if the goal of the Torah is to teach that that these different forms of damage result in liability for the owner to compensate, to provide restitution for damage, why does the Torah have to spell out all of the avos nezikin? Elalamai hilchasot kasvinu rachmona. Why did the Torah have to itemize each one in their respective verses when by stating simply two of them, that would have been enough? The Gemara answers. Note that we have a long answer marking. And in addition to that, you see a volcano, a series marking. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we've noted that the volcano is Pirut Avos Nezikin. We're itemizing the Avos Nezikin. Lehilchisehen. That's the word that you find in the Gemara. That each one has a unique halachic attribute. Loma Kosva, and that explains Loma Kosva Torah Kol Echad. And with that in mind, we understand why the Torah had to itemize each one. So as far as establishing that the owner of these items, or the animal or the boar is culpable, the Torah didn't have to spell out each one. But each one has a unique aspect that the Torah had to teach. And that's why the Torah spelled out each one. And here we go with each Av Nezek. Karen, the Torah featured the issue of the goring ox, l'chalek bein toma l'mu'edes, to make a distinction between the docile animal, the tam, it hasn't gored three times yet, versus the one that's already established itself as a goring animal by having gored three times. So that while it's tam, it pays only half damages. Once it establishes itself as a goring animal, after three times, it is then mu'ed, it has to pay full damage. There may very well be other distinctions in the halacha. Tam pays migufo, mu'ed is min ha'aliyah, but we won't get into that now. Shein v'regel, the Torah spelled out the damage of shein and the damage of regel. Lefotron birshus harabim, to convey the exemption for damages caused in a public thoroughfare through shein or regel. Bor, liftor, boy asakelim. The damage of bor has a unique aspect to it in that vessels that fall into a pit and break, the owner of the pit is not responsible for them. We have a brackets here. The brackets aren't really for skipping, other than to introduce another opinion with regard to this point we just mentioned of bor, and later regarding the point mentioned shortly. But if we do skip for a moment, what do you see right after the brackets? Adam, why did the Torah have to spell out Adam Hamazik? And it goes on to explain that. In the meantime, bor, we said, is spelled out because the Torah wants to convey the exemption for vessel damage in the pit. The Gemara goes on to say, "Ule Rabbi Yehuda, within the brackets, Rabbi Yehuda de Mechayev al Niske Kalim Bebor." According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the bor is chayev, is responsible for vessel damage. What's unique about the pit? Why did the Torah have to spell it out? Liftor bo es ha'odom, to exempt the owner of the pit for the case of a person that falls into a pit. Later in the Masichta, there is greater discussion as to what do we mean by the exemption for the case of a person falling into a pit. There's a discussion concerning a person that is damaged in the pit versus a person that is killed by falling into a pit. But that we'll leave off for the side. Nevertheless, needless to say, there is a unique aspect to pit regarding a person that falls in. Adam, why did the Torah have to spell out Adam Hamazik, L'chaivo Barba Dvorim, to tell us that when it comes to a person that imposes damage on another person, he has to pay, besides the Nezek form of payment, he has to pay a Tsar, Sheves, Ripui, and Boshes, four additional payments, medical bills, embarrassment fees, unemployment rates. These are points that we've mentioned in the past, and we don't need to elaborate them on right now. They will be featured extensively later in the Masechta. But what we have to emphasize is that Adam HaMazik is unique in that he pays an additional four forms of payment that you don't find by the other Avos Nezikin. Eish, Liftor bo es hatamun. Eish has a unique exemption that you don't find by the others, and that is if something is tamun, literally hidden or wrapped up in something, that which is contained within, that is destroyed by the fire, the owner of the fire is exempt. So that if a pile of hay burnt, and within the pile of hay there was someone's vessel item, the item that's buried within the pile of hay would not be the owner of the fire would not be responsible to compensate for that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there is no exemption for tomun in the case of fire, and it then becomes like other avos nezikin, like a shor that trampled a sack full of vessels, he's chayav to pay for the vessels. Likewise, the fire that burns that which is contained within, one is obligated to compensate. Sulasuyemai, what does the Torah gain by spelling out eish? The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Vov. Lasuye, to include the case of fire where it's lichko niro v'sichsicha avonov. We take a look at Rashi at the top. Let's look at Rashi at the second narrow line. First of all, lichko niro is a plowed field, furrows in the field that are plowed, that are singed by a fire, or stone, sichsucha, one of stones that are singed by a fire. Rashi says, the second narrow line, the lo sham inon mehanuch de masnis and ha milsa, from the other ovos nezikin, I would not have known that that fire causing this kind of damage would be responsible. The lechayev bedover sheno roi law, that to obligate the owner of the damaging force to pay for something that's not even fit to be damaged by that force. Kagon hacha shein ikur eish bekach. The main type of damage caused by fire is not singeing of fields and charring of stones. Nevertheless, if that happens, the owner of the fire will be obligated to compensate. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.